Okay. Hello, welcome to our meeting of the Utah County Board of Commissioners. We will begin by looking to those who are here with us for a volunteer, for someone to lead us in a prayer, reading, or a thought, and someone to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Do we have any volunteers? Ezra Nair, thank you very much for volunteering.
I can do the prayer, Tom.
To lead us in the pledge, and Commissioner Ivey, if you lead us in the prayer.
Our beloved Heavenly Father, we come before thee humbly at this time, grateful for the opportunity to assemble and to work on and the affairs facing Utah County and to find a way to properly govern and meet the needs of the citizenry. We ask at this time that thy inspiration might guide the decision-making. We might be mindful of those who've entrusted us to this position, that we can take actionable items that will be of their benefit in protecting their freedoms and liberties. We are truly grateful for this country we live in and for this beautiful valley. And amidst the turmoil and hardship we are facing as a nation, we ask thy guiding hand to rest upon not only us, but all of our leaders, but more importantly, the hearts of our citizenry, that we might find common threads of humanity to bind us together and to find a way to continue to come together as a community, to build one another, and to continue to pursue the ideals that make us the best, that we can be individually in supporting each other in a spirit of love. We express our gratitude for our countless blessings and do so in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We do have a public hearing scheduled at the top of our agenda here today, and so I would entertain a motion to move into the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are now in a public hearing to consider amending and increasing the 2020 budgets in Utah County's general fund and various other budgetary funds for the coronavirus relief funding received from the United States Department of Treasury. If there is any public comment, we've got a timer here to keep it limited to 3 minutes. That feedback that we just received made me want to stop and ask, can you hear us on the phone, if anyone's on the phone? Do we think it's working here, Alice? Okay. Until we hear otherwise, we think it's working.
This is Dave Shawcroft. It's working.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dave. All right, so the floor is open for public comment. Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to close the public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay, we'll now go through the process of building our agenda. We have consent agenda, published consent agenda with 8 items and regular agenda with 13 items. Anything that is not held for discussion will be approved on consent. I don't have anything on consent to hold.
Can we hold number 5?
Okay, hold number 5. Anything else on consent? Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to table actually 2 items, number 4 and number 8 on regular agenda, if that's all right.
And number 8.
Is there anything else up into eight that anyone wants to hold or?
So on number one, do we need to make a That's, motion on that?
Right, that was my question too.
Or can we just adopt that as consent?
This is Dave Shockroff. We would recommend that you do that by separate motion and that Deneen provide that background before that motion is made.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll hold number one. Number nine that is on here, this is an item to approve a notice of termination with Watkins Global Strategy, which is our public information officer. The timing of that coincides with a work session item that I would like to discuss today later on. And so I wanted to put this on here. That's something that I think makes sense for us to do and consider, but I think that given that there's no action being taken on this work session item, I'd like to continue item number nine until our next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. If nothing else, then we will... Okay, let me pause for a moment. If there's anyone who had public comment on any of the items that are about to be approved on consent, anything that was not held for discussion. Seeing and hearing none, we'll now just move to those items. So consent agenda item number five. Commissioner Lee.
Yeah, we had discussion last week on this one. I will be voting no on this one. I see in our guidance it says needed or necessary, and I think that although you could justify that there's some need, I think it goes a little too far on the necessary, and so I just wanted to, and we had that discussion last week, so I don't necessarily need to bring that up again.
Okay. I did miss that discussion, and Josh, if you could just speak to, my understanding is that this is some signage that is related to a primary election that's being conducted in a way that hasn't been conducted before due to COVID-19. And so that's the justification. It is the intention of the Clerk Auditor's Department for this to be funded with CARES Act dollars.
Correct. Yeah. Under recent change in state law that is essentially a temporary suspension of traditional election day polling locations, each county is in a position of deciding whether to hold an alternative method of election day voting, which is a drive-through process. So for our county, we have four drive-through locations throughout the county, and as we've planned each of those drive-through locations in consultation with Public Works and with public safety officials, both locally at cities and more broadly with the county sheriff's office, it was determined that certain locations needed these traffic signs to manage the traffic and to notify those on the road that were coming into these locations, you know, were expecting some crowds. That's where the determination came to obtain these signs for that purpose. So that's the purpose of the three variable message signs. And those signs will be very useful for this election, can also be used for other emergency response related traffic. You know, there's been some PPE distribution take place where members of the community, small businesses have come to the county to receive PPE. They've also had a situation where you have to manage traffic flow. And there's also some anticipation of potential public vaccination events that would similarly be like potentially a drive-through, and then again planning potentially for the November election to have any kind of a drive-through. So these signs I think were very useful, you know, now they're necessary now, and I think they will continue to be useful as the county responds to coronavirus.
Thank you. Okay, I would entertain a motion on number five.
Move to ratify consent agenda item number five.
A second for the vote.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
That passes 2-1. Moving to regular agenda item number one. Let's see, do we have Deneen here with us?
I'm on the phone.
Okay. Deneen, you want to provide some background on this?
Sure. So the federal government, in response to the impact of COVID-19 on local governments, passed the CARES Act. And actually, the CARES Act has several different federal funding opportunities available to the county, but the largest one that the county received is from the Coronavirus Relief Fund that was distributed from the U.S. Department of the Treasury. And so this whole budget amendment is just to appropriate those funds related to the CARES Act. The county already has the $111,630,342 in its bank account, and this is just going through the public process to spend those funds.
So, Deneen, this is Commissioner Lee, the $5 million that's in there as well is just kind of a preloaded number in case?
Right. So there's
other funds come?
Sorry. There's other grant opportunities that may be available. For example, I think there's some election grant that was made available through the CARES Act. And any additional funding, obviously, the Congress has still been talking about finding additional funding for local governments. And so that $5 million would be if those grants actually ended up being awarded. If they were never awarded, those funds would not be spent.
Okay. And then also, just for clarification and understanding, there was some preloading of $10 million and $8 million, $10 million into the building maintenance. And from our discussions, our administrative discussions the other day, we still need to go through that process. But and in talking with Josh earlier, these are just preloaded monies. They're not necessarily in the account of, say, Public Works. They're just in there as a preloaded number so that they can be spent and used on. Same with IT. Is that correct?
Right. So the building maintenance projects or IT hardware that would be needed or that's being requested as part of the coronavirus relief funds, those still need to pass through the internal service funds. And so the budget adjustments for those two funds is to make that process possible. And that's
right.
So we can appropriately account for those fixed assets in our accounting system.
Yes, and I think that the overarching question is that I think it's the beginning of next week, we're going to kind of refine these numbers a little bit. These are just numbers that are plugged in there for now to start the process.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Deneen.
Welcome.
I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve and adopt the resolution amending and increase the 2020 budget to the Utah County General Fund for the various budgetary funds for the Coronavirus Relief Fund CARES Act received from the United States Department of Treasury.
Second.
We have a motion and a second as stated for item number one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay, I believe this takes us all the way down to our setting our closed meetings.
I will go ahead, and which ones do we need?
E12 and 13, sale of property and also litigation, please.
And
we're going to need personnel.
We'll need
we need personnel
with the
tabled items.
Okay, nice. So a motion to strike regular agenda item number 11.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to strike item 11. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0.
Motion to approve and set the date, time, and location for the closed meetings as outlined in regular agenda items numbers 10, 12, and 13 for today's date at this location following completion of the regular agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and second to set those closed meetings as stated. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay. We'll move into a work session topic here. This is an item that I placed on the agenda today. It's something I've put a lot of thought into. It's kind of overlapped a lot of the discussions that we've had in a variety of topics. And that is that when it comes to external organizations or just the public at large, it can be difficult, as well as department heads, I think they would vouch for this at times, to communicate with a three-member commission. And this has been a challenge that I've heard over and over again. And I think there are some logistical challenges of us coordinating. We've had, even during COVID-19, or perhaps even especially during this time, it's been a challenge to kind of unite, get together, given some of the public meetings and quorum requirements, to respond in a quick and efficient manner to some of the needs that we need to get out there into the community. Separate from that conversation, I think we've also gone through some significant changes over the past year in how we do interact with some of these external functions. For example, at the end of last year's budget process, we terminated our agreement with an economic development consultant that's out there engaging with the community. I personally did not do so entirely wanting to get rid of that function, but I thought it could be done in a better way. Today we had, even though we continued it in the future, and I know Commissioner Lee had recommended this, having us look into this, of maybe exploring a better model for a public information officer. And we have a notice of termination that will be coming before us soon. And then secondly, as it relates to promoting Utah Valley externally to the broader world for tourism promotion, there's been some changes at the leadership level at Explore Utah Valley. And all of these have saved some budget funds and have allowed some consolidation of role to really appoint someone to come in and be a director of administration and public affairs that would report to the commission. I think this is a role that would be incredibly valuable for our county government and for all of those in the general public who interact with the county commission. And so this is something that I think is timely. I would like us to consider it and to get it done quickly. As you can see on the agenda system, there's a job description that's out there already that kind of spells some of this out. And anyway, I just wanted to put it out here. We can have a chance to have a discussion or do some Q&A if anyone has questions on this. But for me, this is an important role, and I intend to try to recruit and act quickly to create this position and to fill it.
I obviously think that there's always a significant need for us to have, some way to reach the public. Traditionally, we've had that through our PIO, and so I'm guessing what you're suggesting with this, if I'm understanding correctly, is that this position would essentially replace our PIO contract?
Yes. Well, and I mentioned three different roles that, as an economic development consultant, a PIO, leadership at Explore Utah Valley, if you add up those roles, the compensation for this position would be a small fraction of what was being paid in those variety of roles. And I also think that it's way better to have someone in-house. We had a very highly skilled, very reputable public information officer, but it was on a consultant basis. And I think one of the challenges that you find is no matter who you have, even if you have the very best, you need someone who's actually involved with the Utah County community on a day-to-day basis to be able to manage that message. And so, but yes, our PIO would be replaced as we move forward with this role, would be my sense.
I guess one of the next questions I'd have then in that, particularly around how we're paying for this, obviously, do we see, like with Explore Utah Valley, which we've lost, was used some TRC, the TRCC funding, and maybe this is more appropriate for Rob. Rob, with this in their job description for general promotion, is that a funding stream that's available for that?
honestly, I've not reviewed the job description. We'd have to look at it. I think Paul from our office has been involved in this one. I think we need to look at that issue.
I have looked at this with the civil division, with Paul,
okay.
And he did indicate that a portion, whatever portion of their job they're actually spending on tourism promotion could be billed and coded to that account, and that that exact thing is done in other counties in the state of Utah, and that similar types of coding partial times is done currently in Utah County for grants and other things. So
that's, Ralph, that's relatively common. And you mentioned a fraction. Do you happen to know exactly what the cost savings would be with the termination of those three contracts being rolled into this position?
Well, it's not a perfect scenario, because in some cases these savings have already been realized. But just for example, I think that we were paying,
because we're 50,
the economic development consultant was $150,000.
Right. Roughly.
And the PIO contract is at 50, close to 60,000, 54,000.
50, 55.
Yeah. And then the Explore Utah Valley was a highly compensated position, which there is still some severance burning off on that. But on a run rate, that was one of the highest compensated positions in Utah County. So I think at 160,000. So we're at well below half. That the compensation kind of plan here was in the $90,000 to $95,000 range, I think was the starting there. So that's a significant savings from those three positions.
And then I guess the question on the administrative portion of it, I mean, obviously we have the full administrative authority. What role do you see them fulfilling administratively?
So administratively,
I can see the public facing, the outreach, you know, reaching out to companies. This is why you should invest in Utah County. When we're dealing with health crises or, you know, press conferences, responding to things, you know, press releases, getting information to the media, all that makes sense. Where would you see the administration?
So if you look at the job description, the first several points, kind of the first page, 1 through 9, is more the public relations and the external focused ones that you were describing. As you get down to the administration, even on some of those examples, you know, right now the commission oversees a lot of, so sitting on these boards or overseeing kind of what Explore Utah Valley, the Tourism Tax Advisory Board, County Fair, and then even city parks and recreation that are TRCC funded. There's some administration to that, but that's still kind of the external TRCC. I think where it's also interesting is there's an item on here, serve as united voice or unified voice for the commission on regional boards or with intergovernment organizations, or in speaking with our legislative caucus of Utah County. I think it's really important. Sometimes it's been hard if they feel like they reach out to us one-off and they don't really have a sense of, or they don't have that single point of contact. One recent example of this was with the CARES Act dollars that we approved today. I think that we could have done a much better job at communicating with the mayors. And even though I think all three of us individually actually put a lot of effort into communicating with the mayors, but in some cases they were getting different messages, and I think that there's just a lot of benefit of having one person. And then when it comes to administration, you can see how that kind of rolls throughout, but it's not, I guess to be clear, it's not a delegation of any of the statutory authority that the commission holds.
Okay, and that's, I mean, I think that's, that got to the heart of my question, because that would be very concerning for me if it was. I think we have to make sure that we continue to hold all of our administrative authority and that wouldn't be delegated out to someone else.
I personally do think that this is a, if you go back to the change of government committee that was formed that recommended a mayor council form, there was another strain that they brought out. And that was that in addition to the state level change of government, whether you have a county commission or you have a mayor council, that it is helpful to have some administrative support or more of this single point of contact that can be a coordinating force. And I think that this is not exactly what that committee had in mind, but it can do some of those things. It's not a delegation of authority, but they can do as much as they can without a delegation of authority to make our county government operate a little bit more effectively.
I have maybe a different perspective on this. And let me run down through all of this, and then if you'd like to ask questions on why I feel this way, that'd be fine. First off, we just barely went through and cut out of the commission budget $108,000. This one adds $132,000 back into it. I find that a little bit interesting. I understand you're talking about, but there are different funds that we're talking about too when we're talking about Explore Utah Valley. That's TRCC stuff. And so I find, for me, it looks like we're growing government back. We just said we're going to cut some back, and now we're going to grow it again. So that just right off, looking at the salary and the benefit cost analysis in there, I find that a little bit off. Then looking at, and I'm going to read down through these because this was put under the essential functions. One of the essential functions is to manage with county residents to ensure government responsiveness to their needs and prioritize respond to complaints and refer concerns as appropriate. Now this would be under a job title of this position. And when I read down through that, I see that as a commission responsibility and my office responsibility to manage the needs, to respond to complaints. I'm not looking for another layer or level of government to be in between myself as a representative and the people and the citizens. And I see that as being, again, another layer or level in there. Three and four are pretty similar, but it says, serve as the primary point of contact for outreach for federal, state, local entities, as well as local businesses, nonprofits, and institutions of higher learning. And four says, interact and coordinate with representatives from federal, state, county, and local entities. That's what we do. That's what a commissioner should be doing, is coordinating that and looking at that and interacting and outreaching to them and seeing where they're at and where we can be of service. And so, again, I don't want necessarily to say, well, now if a local entity comes in and says, hey, I'd like to call you up, I say, oh, call so-and-so. That seems pretty off to me. Number five says, educate the public about Utah County offices, functions, positions of the Utah County government with communities in Utah County. Utilize media sources and other public relations and marketing vehicles as needed. Interesting one, going out there and doing an education, campaign on what can happen or how the government functions. I think that that's needed. I get asked that question all the time. Not sure exactly what, a commissioner does. I think the education part is an important one. I just don't know if that necessarily relates to a full-time position out there doing that for us. In this sense. Number six says, establish the capacity to conduct awareness and outreach campaigns, including social media efforts, town hall meetings, focus groups, community outreach, and civic organizations, schools, businesses, and specific ethnic and cultural groups. A couple of years ago, as a commission and the staff and others, we had some pretty significant outreach that I thought went well when we talked about the opioid crisis. We went out there. Suicide prevention, we were out there. Domestic violence, we're out there. And I thought we did a great job in that. And now this position basically is the one that establishes the capacity, conducts awareness and outreach. you know, to conduct awareness and outreach campaigns. And again, this is what our staff, we have hired staff, you know, to help us with this. I don't see a need to increase government just to do that. Number seven, prepare verbal, written, and visual communication tailored to newspapers, radio, television, web, and social media. Develop videos, infographics, and other visual communications. Produce effective, and I don't know what the culturally appropriate material, that one's in there, it says produce effective and culturally appropriate materials. I don't know what the culturally appropriate materials is. But again, we do that, and that one's going to be an interesting one. I mean, I was trying to remember the last time that all three of us had a press release, you know, in which we were all three there at a press release. And we have newspaper or radio or web or social media. Now, we do have Facebook, needs to be managed. I get it. Those things probably need to be managed, and we can find ways, and we have that right now with our PIO who is currently fulfilling that responsibility. Number eight says prepare and distribute press news releases, plan, organize, and conduct news conferences. Again, that's been kind of established with a PIO, which we've been doing. Number nine says establish critical baseline information about current communication needs and barriers within individual communities in Utah County. This one here, for me, I think that's, you know, I'm not sure exactly what critical baseline information we're talking about there. But in talking with mayors and having mayors reach out directly to me as a commissioner, I think is vital. I have their cell numbers. They call me, you know, and I'm able to talk with them and see what's going on. I'm sure it's not perfect. It's not perfect all the way, you know, around in certain ways. But again, I don't want to necessarily say, well, you got to call so-and-so because they're the ones that are actively promoting this. Number 10 says actively engage in the execution of the county's economic development plan. Well, we just released our economic development, you know, I mean, both of you put that out there and said, let's not have that team. I asked the question where we're going to land if we don't have that. The response was, well, we don't need it because it'll just grow organically. So for what it is there, that was what I remember being said. Number 11 is an interesting one, too, because it says oversee and direct. This person would oversee and direct from the county's position activities, projects funded through tourism tax, including Explore Utah Valley, the Tourism Tax Advisory Board, county fair, and enhancements to the county and city parks and recreation. When I broke that down, this individual would oversee and direct, you know, including Explore Utah Valley. We have a board that does that. The board is the one that oversees and directs what goes on with Explore Utah Valley. The Tourism Tax Advisory Board, we have another board that oversees that. You know, the county fair is one that we're trying to work through. And we've had in the past, you know, push that to another group, an entity to run. And then the enhancements to the county and city parks and recreation. Public Works does that for us too, then in the way of, you know, the recreation. I can't imagine an individual coming in to oversee and direct those types of activities. It seems like, again, another layer of government. And then the number 12 says, serve as a unified voice for the commission on regional boards with intergovernment organization committees and councils as allowed. I guess this individual, from what I read on that, would sit on a board like Central Utah Water Project, or you know, those would be the ones that we'd recommend, or to our some of our other boards that we sit on. And what I see by that is that, you know, I think these are important boards for us to be on, so we have touches with the community, we know what's going on. I see that again as a commission's responsibility. As I read down through this, it looks like it's a way to take the burden off of a commissioner from actually doing his job, which is concerning to me. And number 11 says work with Mountainland Association of Governments and Public Works in coordinating and executing long-term transportation plans. Number 14, assist with the potential transition from the county commission to a mayor council form of government. That's going to be on the ballot. Number 15 says function as the single administrative contact for the County Commission to optimize government operations. Again, a massive, as I look at it, another layer added to government. Instead of having a direct representative, I see myself as a representative of the people. I don't mind having them come in, call, whatever issues they have, coming directly to me and having that conversation. Of course, they'd have to go to the other commissioners as well to have that conversation. And I don't see taking that off the table and saying, hey, let's go this way. And in the end, and I'll just kind of end with this. And this is going to be bold and it'll be blunt. This looks like, to me, a way to relieve responsibility and not stand up and do the job. Now, this job, I do it full time. And from when I first came into office, I was asked that question. Are you going to be serving full time, three-quarter time, or half time? Because it can be paid accordingly. And I said, I'll be here full time. This is what I do, morning, noon, and night, is the County Commission. As I understand it and as I heard, you gentlemen all both have other jobs. And the question that I have is, how much time during that 8 to 5 day do you spend in another job if we're trying to push off our responsibility onto somebody else?
Well, first off, Bill, I'm not sure I'm supportive of this because I share some of your concerns. As I mentioned in my questioning to Tanner, I was very concerned about the administrative portion of this because that is our job. Okay. And in being very blunt to you, I hired individuals to come and replace what I did at the ranch so that I could be here full time. Because this is my priority and my job. And yeah, I still enjoy riding horses, because that's my escape from stress. And I have personally invested money into our operations there to replace what I was doing full time so that I could give my efforts here.
I did not know. That's good to know.
There's a reason that the mayors selected me on the Economic Recovery Committee, because I work closely with them, because just like you, I have their phone numbers. And I'm talking to them all the time and in communication with them and coordinating with them. And they trust me because I do my job. And part of my concern with this is the loss of administrative authority. That's why I asked Tanner the question about the administrative role. I share your concerns with the cost. If you'll recall, that was probably my first question. How are we paying for this? Is it truly, you know, a savings? We did just cut money from the commission budget. And I agree with you, we have hired staff. I have one person that works in my office with me, Kyle, and he works full time. He does a great job. And he's dedicated and committed. I mean, I think if we look at the success last year of the golf tournament, turned over $30,000, right? There's one example of where his full-time commitment from my staff has been very, very successful. Am I open to exploring a more effective way to utilize our PIO monies? Yes, because in the 4 years I've been here, I felt like we've really struggled in connecting to the public through our public information officer. We've been under two different contracted entities now. I think the one we have right now is like leaps and bounds ahead of where we were before, as far as, especially with media contacts and driving messaging. But I think that we can do a significantly better job on our public relations, and media relations, and do a better job of trying to tell the story of Utah County, of what's happening here in our county and what we have engaged and what we're doing. And so for me on this, and I'm grateful that Tanner brought it up in a work session, because that's what these are for, right? To delve through these and have the questions and scrutinize and stuff. And I have concerns on the administrative side of it. I like the concept. If this is the right role, I'm not sure. That's something we'll have the opportunity to think about. as before we make a decision point, but I like the concept of trying to find some way to be in better communication and have a PIO that's really actively helping all three offices, right? I think we develop some kind of internal system so that what they're kicking out there is approved, right? It needs to be what their messaging needs to be, the majority will of the commission, as it always should be. Most of the time, that's going to be a very unified, you know, 3-0 thing. But I think that, and so my question inside of it that I'm asking myself in my head around this position is, there's probably some points in the job description that might need tweaking, but is bringing something like the PIO in-house, it's money we're already spending for something I think is needed, does that give us better control of the direction and the messaging and our capacity for public outreach? And so I share a lot of your very same concerns on the administrative side, definitely share the concerns on the budgetary side, and where I personally say, okay, here's where I'd like to try and work on this is on the public information side, because I think that we could definitely do better with our public outreach than what we've done for the last 4 years that I've been here. You know, and if we have somebody that interacts with our offices on a day-to-day basis, does that help that drive that message to the public and have better education? You know, I mean, I agree with you. I think you brought up excellent points with our, you know, our domestic violence and our opioid abuse. If we have someone in-house like this, does it help us do more of those? Right, so that I don't see them as replacing us in those things. I think we're the ones out there. You know, obviously the public's always contacting us, but does this give us a PIO or, you know, whatever Tanner called it, a director? Does that give us the opportunity to do more of those things, so that we're more engaged with the public, and then in a pay scale fashion, what makes, you know, what's reasonable for that pay scale? What does that job description look like? And I appreciate Tanner putting together, you know, some initial work and background on this, but there's definitely a little bit of concern for me on the administrative side. It's got to be clearly defined, because it can't step on our role as the chief administrators for the county.
So a couple comments. I do think that you just completely misread the intent of this and read concerns or intentions that just don't exist in here. You know, nothing would take away from the county commissioners. We have our elected responsibilities. No one can change it. Nothing we can do at the county level could change those items under state law that we're required to do or that we should do. And nobody that we could hire could change what you want to do or your rights and abilities as a county commissioner. So, for example, I think all of us, I'm the same way. I talk to our mayors, call them all the time, talk with our state legislators. We do all of this interaction. That's never going to change. This is not intended to create a layer where we say, oh, can't talk to you, you got to go through this person. But if you really think back to a lot of those communications, the challenge is sometimes when you're having those communications, they are saying, that's great, Commissioner Ainge, that's great, Commissioner Lee. What do the other two think? And so then there's always this bottleneck until you get into a public meeting. And this person would have the ability to at least be able to coordinate and give a sense for where the commission is at generally. And some of the biggest problems that we've had in our communication have been areas where timely response and communication was needed in the community. And the three of us kind of clumsily tried to get on the exact same page. And by the time we finally did with the press with the press release, the moment was too late to communicate. And so I do think navigating this three-member body is hard. Three CEOs doesn't make sense. And so we still would have the ability to hold our own town halls, to interact with everyone, to do everything, but there could be a coordinating force. The other thing is just another resource. As we all know, there are a ton of interactions that are required of county government, and we all have to pick and choose our battles of where we're going to focus the time. And if we had another highly qualified individual who could go and help represent the county and our desires, our interests, I think that would be helpful, and it's something that we really need. So this is not an effort to abdicate any responsibility or to not do the job. I find that more than, I guess you said blunt and bold, but I just think it's out of place. And so that responds a little bit to this. As it relates to the exploring, you know, overseeing and directing some of these boards, the Tourism Tax Board, Explore Utah Valley, you know, you made the point that there are boards there, and I think that's a good point. That's the right point. And but what's interesting is we already, that's what's, I think for anyone who's not aware, the way that works right now is we may attend one of those board meetings, and they have invited us to attend, and the county commission ultimately has to approve some of their decisions, and in the case of Explore Utah Valley, determines their annual contract amount, and yet we're not a voting member of the board. But usually, in that case, it's me attending the board meeting. I guess in my role as commissioner, but I don't have any authority there. So that actually is an interesting example where I think someone like that could still represent the county really well. It's not an official seat on the board, and it does not replace the board. So I think that it, when you think through all of the different dimensions of this, my sense is that those who interact with the county, if you were to go poll the mayors or state legislators, even some of our county department heads, they would plead with us to have a more organized, unified communication strategy. And I think that this is a step in that direction.
So how many hours a week do you work in a different job from 8 to 5?
So the only other W-2 employer I have is the Utah National Guard.
No contract? You don't work corporate finance or anything?
My career has been in private equity investing and venture capital. And I make some investments, but I don't have another employer. I don't have significant consulting agreements. So I'm committed to this job. And I think if we look at the results and the time spent on trying to steer this county and serve on the county commission, you know, all we can do is talk about ourselves. But I think that go talk to those departments that are in my portfolio, and I think they know the amount of effort that I put into this job. Okay, do we have any public comment on this? Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, I would entertain, well, I guess we're not ready to adjourn. We'll move into our closed meetings. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Okay, we're back in our meeting of the Board of County Commissioners.
Motion to remove from the table regular agenda items numbers 4 and 8.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to remove regular agenda items 4 and 8. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes 3-0.
Motion to approve regular agenda item number 4.
Second.
We have a motion to approve regular agenda item number 4. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0.
Motion to authorize the change as stated in regular agenda item number 8.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number 8. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We're adjourned. Aye.